Okay, we are ready. Everybody hear me okay? Good. All right, welcome to this talk. My name is Robert Green. I'm a technical evangelist at Microsoft. I'm a Visual Studio technical evangelist, and I've spent most of the past year focusing on Windows 8 and particularly focusing on building enterprise apps. So this talk is called Building Windows 8 Apps for the Enterprise, and I gave this talk a couple weeks ago in Orlando, and I learned the hard way that you should set expectations before you give a talk. So this talk is, what we're going to do in this talk is we're going to build an app. It's going to be an expense reporting application. I think it's a relatively typical example of the type of app that you might build in an enterprise. We've done a lot of showing people how to build reader apps. You know, you want to build a blog reader, a news reader. It's pretty straightforward how you do those. But how do you build an app that actually, where you actually enter data and as well as work with data, get data from existing services? I want to focus on that in this talk. So we talk a lot about use your existing skills and use what you know. So the question is, well, how do you literally do that in Windows 8 apps? And that's what I want to talk about here. So if you are looking for a deep dive on issues such as security and you know, you're looking for a highly technical, if you've been building Windows 8 apps for a while and you want to get really technical on that, you may be disappointed. This talk is probably, that's probably not what you're going to see in this talk. So I'll say that up front. I won't feel badly if you leave. I'll feel sheepish if 80% of the room leaves. But I won't feel bad if you decide that you want to see a different talk. If you have questions on those types of topics, anything advanced, or anything that we're going to cover today, anything around building Windows 8 apps, feel free to email me, rogreen@microsoft.com, and I'll get the answers for you. The app we're going to build today, I am going to make public and put in CodePlex. There's some fixing up that needs to be done on it. So just, you can follow me on Twitter and find out when this app is available. If you can't wait that long, just shoot me an email, and I can give it to you beforehand. Okay, so I have a few slides, just a handful of slides, and then we're going to spend the rest of the time actually in Visual Studio. So by now you've hopefully learned about Windows 8. You know that it is Windows reimagined. You know that it is connected. You know that it is built for the world we live in, multiple devices, always on, always connected. You've hopefully seen the Metro UI, fast, fluid apps, the Metro design principles, or content before Chrome. So I'm going to assume you're familiar with that, and I'm going to assume that you think that Windows 8 is a great product and you can't wait to be building apps for your enterprise, and the question you have is, how do I do that? Well, the first thing we would say is, well, let's talk about apps. When we talk about Metro-style apps or Windows 8 apps, there's really a couple different types, depending on who's using them. Are they being used by consumers, or are they being used in businesses? And then we can further break those down into a couple categories. So, of course, there are the consumer apps used by consumers, available in the store, built by a tech company, whether it's a large tech company or a one person or anything in between, Facebook, Angry Birds, Pandora, things like that. Build those apps, put them in the store. Maybe they're free, maybe you charge for them. It's a pretty straightforward model. There's also B2C or business to consumer apps. So Home Depot, British Airways, real estate companies, people that, businesses that want to provide apps for their customers, used by the consumer, built by the enterprise or contractors that the enterprise hires, those apps you're going to find in the store as well. But we're going to, then the next category are apps that are used by businesses internally. There are line of business apps that are built by ISVs, SAP, et cetera, Citrix, you know, folks like that. So you're going to purchase these apps from somebody and use them internally. There are two ways to get these. You can get them from the Windows Store. You can get them sideloaded. I talked about that yesterday. Who here was at my deployment talk yesterday? Okay, a handful of people. For those who weren't, I did a whole talk on how you get apps deployed in the enterprise. Two ways to do it, through the Windows Store or sideloaded. So these apps are typically going to be purchased. Maybe they're available in the store. Maybe they're only available internally. And then the final category, which is what we're going to focus on here, are custom line of business apps, whether it's HeadTrax, which would essentially be your employee directory, or expense approval, or sales management. These are going to be built by the enterprise. It's possible you would put them in the store because you like the fact that everybody can get access to the store and you get automatic updates, but in all likelihood, you're going to want to sideload these apps. So we're going to be focusing today on custom line of business apps. We're going to build one, and then we'll quickly see how to install it. But before we build, why? Why are we doing this? Why build line of business apps? Of course, we know why to build line of business apps, because we want people to be able to do their jobs better, and there's corporate data we want to work with. But why would we build these as Windows 8 or Metro style apps? So the question is, under what scenarios does it make sense to do this? And here's a list of it's not a definitive list, but here are a list of some of the reasons why you would seriously think about building a Windows 8 app. Mobility. Windows 7 is a fine mobile operating system. Down in the Windows booth, we're running Windows 8 on the Samsung Series 7 slates, or the 7 Series slates. I always get that mixed up. But the Samsung 7s, that is a fine machine, and it runs Windows 7 just fine. But it's an even better Windows 8 machine, because Windows 8 is a better operating system for mobility. It was just designed that way. Suited for the modern form factors, long battery life. You probably saw the announcement last week of the Surface devices. It was the number one question we got in the Windows booth: is that a Surface? And when we said no, it's a Samsung, people were a little disappointed. So it's an exciting device. There are also exciting computers built by some of the other hardware vendors. So we think that Windows 8 will be an excellent operating system for devices, long battery life, good performance. And because Windows 8 is designed for touch, because you have the fast and fluid experience with the live tiles and the content over Chrome, you can think of a number of applications that are more productive. The expense report app we're going to build today, I think, is way more productive than the alternative. Internally, we use a website. When we go and fill out expense reports, it's a website. It works. It's you can understand how to use it. It's not the most productive thing. It's not a whole heck of a lot of fun to use, and I have to be on the CorpNet in the browser to use it. We're going to build a Metro or Windows 8 app today that does the same thing, that I think is just way easier to use, and therefore I think is more productive. More productive means people do their jobs better, saves the company money, or generates more revenue. I think in many cases a Windows 8 app will be more performant, quicker startup, designed to be asynchronous. We're going to make heavy use of asynchronous calls. Windows makes heavy use of asynchronous calls. The rule of thumb is if something takes more than 50 milliseconds, you should make it asynchronous, so you're not hanging the UI thread waiting for things to happen. And because the Windows runtime is very efficient and doesn't give apps the ability to hog all the processing power, your apps can be more performant. Can be. Not, I mean, maybe they won't be, but they certainly can be. They have good security in Windows 8, particularly in the fact that apps are running in the sandbox, so they're isolated. So you can trust that if you run a Windows 8 app, it's just going to do its job and not muck with the rest of the system. We're going to see in this talk that you can use what you know. You can build Windows 8 apps in XAML and VB or C Sharp, and now also C++. You can build them with JavaScript and HTML and CSS. So if you know those already, if you've been building Silverlight apps, then you can come over and build Windows 8 apps. If you've been building ASP apps with JavaScript, you can come over and start building Windows 8 apps. A lot of what you know will be the same, and the stuff that you have to learn, yeah, there's some new stuff to learn, but that's always fun. And then you can deploy apps either through the store or through sideloading. So if you take a look at a particular app and you say, should we rewrite this as a Windows 8 app? The answer is only if you're going to get a big benefit out of it. There's a cost to rewriting, so if the benefit outweighs the cost, then you'd certainly consider it. If you have a brand new app that you're thinking of building, you could build it as a classic desktop app, could build it as a web app, could build it as a Windows 8 app, then you want to think about, am I going to get a bigger return on my investment by building it as a Windows 8 app? So if you think you're going to get, obviously, a better experience for mobile users, or you're going to get increased productivity and a better performing app, then you should go for it. If you think that the fact that you're going to have to redesign it as a Windows 8 app gives you the ability to get the design right this time or better than the current design, then that would be a good reason. And that, of course, is no different than you have the same answers to the questions every time we ask that. Should I move over to a new technology? It's kind of the same thought process. Should every app be a Windows 8 app? Of course not. Some apps should remain desktop apps. If you need pixel accuracy, if you're doing a CAD CAM app, or if you just have tons of Chrome in your app, like Visual Studio Photoshop or Lightroom or even something like Word, Excel, PowerPoint, what do those apps look like as metro apps, given that a huge amount of what you do still relies on Chrome? In that case, you might just leave it as a desktop app for now and see where Metro design guidelines head for when you need Chrome, and you need Chrome to be up front. Probably wait and see what the Office team does and then get some ideas based on what those guys do eventually. If you need background tasks running, then you're probably going to look more towards a desktop app. Windows 8 apps can do things in the background, but their Metro app is designed to suspend when you switch over to desktop mode. So if you need an app that's constantly running, constantly pulling a stock price, constantly pulling traffic situations, you're probably going to leave that as a desktop app. If you don't need platform richness, you want an app that's accessible across various platforms, you want zero footprint, sounds like a good use for a web app. If you need the app to be available for multiple devices, no matter what somebody has, a Windows 7 machine, a Windows 8 machine, an iPad, an Android, you name it, then you'll make it a web app. So there are obviously examples of apps where you're not going to move them to Windows 8. But let's leave those aside. Let's talk about an app that we want to build as a Windows 8 app. So we want to design and build an expense report app. And that's what we're going to spend the rest of the time. We've got an hour to do this. We're going to build an app in an hour. Okay, so first of all, what does the app do? Well, employees can create new expense reports and then submit them for approval, and managers can approve or reject expense reports. That's basically what we want the app to do. Okay? So, let's talk a little bit about architecture. Data's in a back-end system. In real life, it's probably in Dynamics or something. I know that we use Dynamics, I believe Dynamics AX, to store our expense data. For our purposes here, we're going to use SQL Server, but the data's sitting in a back-end system. It's been there for a while, and therefore the data is going to be exposed by a service. Here we're going to use a WCF service. It's possible that this service has been in existence for 3 years. It's possible that we write it for this application. And obviously, since that service exists, lots of other clients are going to be able to call it. And then we're going to use Windows 8 to build the client app. So what the users see is a Windows 8 app. But the service itself and the data are going to be through WCF and SQL Server. Okay. So let's just take a quick look at the data. I've got four tables sitting in SQL Server. And I'm running a Lenovo X220 tablet running Windows 8. And I've got SQL Express on here. So we've got employees. They have an employee ID, a name, an alias, and a manager. So that information is sitting in the database. I'll show you later on that we can get some of this information through Active Directory. But for our purposes here, we're just going to get it out of the database. Then the way it works is when we use our corporate Amex cards to pay for something, Amex sends that data to Microsoft, then it's sitting somewhere. So here, we're going to have it sitting in a database. So charges are things that I've put on my credit card that Amex is waiting for me to expense so that Amex can get paid. Right? And when I create a new expense report, I'm going to want to see what are my outstanding charges. So these are things that I've purchased but haven't yet put into an expense report. Okay, so we got the date, the merchant, location, the build amount, and the transaction amount to take account that the transaction amount would be in euros and the build amount would be in dollars for anything I buy over here. And then things are in various categories. Okay, then I create an expense report, which has a report number tied to my employee ID, what's the total amount, the purpose, who approves it, usually my manager, date submitted, date resolved, how much is owed to the credit card companies, how much is owed to me. So over here, there have been places that didn't take Amex, there are places that take cash, so if I'm going to expense something that I put on my personal Visa card or I paid with cash, that money comes to me. Anything on the Amex card goes to Amex. So we need to be able to distinguish between those. And then finally, expense reports consist of items. Items typically start out as charges, or I can create new ones for anything that I put on my Visa card or I paid for in cash. Okay? So relatively simple database. And then we have a WCF service, which uses Entity Framework. And then I have a number of methods. Method to get the employee, if I pass in employee ID, I want to be able to get the employee's name, get an expense report based on a report number, get all the reports for an employee, get the saved report. So if I'm working on a report, I can save it but not submit it. Or I submit a report, it's waiting for approval. Okay, and then I can get the list of approved and rejected reports. I can get all of the items in a particular report. I can get the charges, the Amex charges that are waiting for an employee. And then, of course, I can save, delete, approve, and reject reports. And then the code in here is just C# code. It's got nothing to do with Windows 8 at all. Okay, so far, all right, this is good news. I'm gonna return to this point over and over again to the point where you're probably going to get tired of me saying it, but it's the point I need to drive home, which is that building a Windows 8 app looks and feels a lot like building an app before Windows 8. Right? A lot of what we do is completely reusable. Okay. So now we have the back end. Now let's start building the app. So I'm going to create a new project. I'm going to use C#. If I was a JavaScript guy, I would build this in JavaScript, and I want to have a JavaScript version of this app, so as soon as I find somebody to write it for me, I'll have both C# and JavaScript versions of it. But I'm going to build this as a XAML app using C#. And I'm going to call it expenses. I'm just going to base it on a blank app. Okay, so the first thing I need is a reference to the data, so I'm going to add a service reference to that WCF service, which is sitting out here on this server. Right now everything's running on my local machine, but obviously typically this would be on a different server in the enterprise. Okay, there it is, expense service, and there are the various methods. And I'm going to call this expense service. And by default, the lists come down as observable collections. I'm going to set this to list. The service itself returns a list. And then I'm going to convert these to observable collections later on. So I'm just going to set these to list right now. Okay. All right, so now I have a reference to the data. And what else do we have in here? Notice that Visual Studio created a common folder and put standard styles in here. So these are XAML styles that Visual Studio provides for me. If you do a JavaScript app, Visual Studio will provide some CSS for you. So I've got things in here like basic rich text style and basic text style and a bunch of things that Visual Studio provides. But of course, I have my own styles. I actually worked with a designer on this app, so we've got some additional styles. So let's just create some styles. Create a folder called styles, and then I'm going to add my styles. Here they are. Okay, so in core, I've got some standard styles. We're going to come back in here. I've got the font size that I want to use in this app. Visual Studio has a default baseline text style, but I wanted a different size font, so I've created app title text style based on that and just set the font size to 18. I've got some additional styles in here. I've got some templates. I'm not even sure I use this one anymore, but it's in there. And then types, which have colors. Okay, so I've got all my styles that I will create. And then, of course, I want to use those in the app. So I come into app.xaml, and then I need to reference those. I'm going to do a lot of adding of existing files and copying and pasting in here, because we only have an hour. All right, so in the app.xaml, I'm going to reference all of the styles, the standard styles that are in common that Visual Studio provided, and then all the ones that I created. The recommendation, of course, is that you don't change anything in standard styles because it's Visual Studio generated, and you know, if SP1 ships with new styles, then anything you put in there would run the risk of being overwritten. So you can certainly create your own styles based on these. So that's what we're doing here. Okay, so now I should be able to build this. Big fan of build often. Okay, so it's a XAML app. I'm going to use MVVM, model, view, view, model. The model is the data that comes from the service. The views are my XAML pages. That's the UI. And the view model is what sits in between the data and the pages. So I'm going to create a new folder called view models. And then we're going to write all our view models. Here they are. I'm the world's fastest coder. Look at that. All right, what do we have? So for example, we have an employee view model which has properties, things like ID, name, alias. And then in my constructor, what I'm going to do when I create an employee view model is I'm going to associate it with the current user. And so first thing I want to do is I need to know my alias, because if I know my alias, then I could get my employee ID, and therefore I could get my expense reports. So I can make a call to user information, which is in windows.system, user profile, and get the domain name asynchronously. Then I'm going to create an instance of my WCF service class. I'm going to grab the alias, which is everything to the right of the last backslash in my domain name. And then I'm going to send that to the getEmployeeAsync method of the service, and that's going to return me an employee. Now these are asynchronous, and I need this getDomainNameAsync call to complete before I can call this asynchronous call. So for the purposes of this demo, because I wanted to keep the code as simple as possible, I'm turning my asynchronous calls into synchronous by using .result and .getResults. This is not necessarily a best practice, but I wanted to keep the code simple. So what I need to investigate, and I need to fix this before I make this public, is how do you keep the code simple while at the same time not subverting your asynchronously? How do you wait? How do you call, make an async call, and then the very next thing you do relies on the results of that? How do you continue to use await and async and be able to make the next call and have the previous call return? Because by default, if I await this, this method exits, right? And then, so I am fudging this by forcing my asynchronous calls to be synchronous. I do need to fix this. I've had recommendations of using factory classes. If you have thoughts on how to do this simply, come up afterwards and let's talk. Okay? So just be aware that I'm doing this in this example for now, but I do want to fix it later. Okay, so I get my domain name, I get my alias, If I'm not domain joined or I can't get that, then I'm just going to hard code it to me. Okay? And then I have another call in here where I can pass an alias. So in this null constructor, I'm going to base it on the domain name, but there's also a version of this where I can pass in the alias and find the employee. And what I want to do is I want to store the employee at the application level. I'm constantly going to be asking, who's the employee? Get the expense reports for this employee. Get the charges for this employee. So I decided I wanted to store employee at the application level. So let's do that. I've got code snippets. I'm one of the few people that actually uses code snippets instead of dragging from the toolbox or copying and pasting. I like snippets. Okay, so I need some variables here at the app level. Oop, wrong place. Here, I'm going to store the employee ID, are they a manager, and their username at the application level. Okay. Then I need a method to find the employee, which is going to be snippet number 3. And then I'm going to call that when the app starts. So when the app launches, I mean the on launch, when the app launches, I'm going to get the employee. So I'm going to call that view model, store the employee and the ID as well as the user's name at the application level. I can call get display name async, which will get the display name in Windows. That's basically this text right here. I can also get the picture if I wanted, but I decided I didn't really need that. Okay. So what else do we have? We have a view model that gets collections of employees. We have a view model for charges, a view model that gets a collection of charges. So here's the code to get charges. I call the get outstanding charges method of the service. And here's where I convert to an observable collection for the data binding. How many charges are less than 30 days old? What's the amount, etc.? And then I need a couple additional files here. I've got some enums, and then I've got this group class, and then I've got a helper class. So let's add those. The enums are just enums for things like category type. This group info list class gives me an easy way to group things, so if I wanted to group employees or group expense types. And then I've got a helper function in here. So now, okay, so for the most part, this is, again, pretty standard. This is what we're used to. I'm using MVVM, and I'm using this in a pretty standard way. I'm using the async, although I'm doing an end run around it, which is literally a feature in .NET 4.5. It's not a Windows 8-specific feature. So at this point, and again, this is kind of the point, I really haven't done a whole heck of a lot that's Windows 8-specific, which is good, because I've gotten fairly far into this app using the skills I already have. Okay, so now we're ready to do the UI. On the main page, what should happen? The employees should be able to see their unreconciled charges and how old they are. I want the app to tell me what I have outstanding and whether or not it's old. I want to be able to see expense reports that I started but haven't finished yet. I want to see reports I've submitted that I'm waiting for approval on. And if I'm a manager, I want to see reports that I'm expected to approve. Okay, so let's create that main page. When I created this app, Visual Studio created a main page for me. I don't want it, so I'm going to delete it. And I'm going to store my pages in a folder called Views. And then I'm going to create a main page. So I will add a new item. I can use a blank page or I can use a basic page. I'm going to use the basic page because this has layout awareness, a title, and a back button. So there's some infrastructure in there that I want. So here's my main page. Notice Visual Studio says, if you're going to use this layout aware page, we need to add some files into your project. Would you like those? Yes. And make sure you don't delete them because you kind of need them. So notice in the common folder, they used to only be standard styles, but now I have a bindable base. I've got a couple converters. I have this layout aware page, which has some state management built into it, which is nice. And then I've got this suspension manager, which also has the ability to do state, suspend the app, record where you are so that when you go back and wake the app up, you're able to start pick up where you left off. Notice also that I've got invalid markup, and right here I can see in my XAML that this page is inheriting from layout aware page, which is in common, which even though I'm looking at it, the designer hasn't been able to figure out yet. I know this works in the beta. I'm not sure if this is going to be fixed in RTM or if you just have to build to get rid of it. Okay. In the meantime, I'm going to go into my app.xaml.cs, and I know that because I got rid of this main page and put it in the views folder, the compiler has no idea about it, so I just need to come up here and add a using for expenses.views. Okay, so that would resolve that. And now I should be able to come back here and build this. And now that this page knows what layout aware page is, now the designer will show me my page. Okay. So now I don't really want this page either, because I've already built a different version of it, so I'm going to replace this with the real version of my main page, okay, which is not going to compile because I have a whole bunch of converters that I'm calling. In addition, I know Visual Studio gives me a couple, but I created a bunch of my own. So let's add a new folder called converters, and let's add all of my converters. I've got a whole bunch of them. Things like turning booleans to strings, category to string, date time to a string, or date time to number of days old, things like that. And now the app builds. We're ready to run. Look at that ugly splash screen. Kaboom! It blows up. It blows up on the call to get domain name async. Access is denied. Caller does not have the enterprise authentication capability. There are these things called capabilities in Windows 8 apps that if you want to use, you have to declare. Where do you find these? You find them by going into, double-clicking on package.appx manifest, going to the capabilities tab, and here are the capabilities. And notice that by default, apps only have access to the internet. Of course they have access to the internet. What app doesn't have access to the internet? There are a number of additional capabilities, like access to the webcam, access to the microphone, access to the documents library or the video library, or the ability to pass domain credentials or get internet resources that require a domain credential. So if I'm going to get my domain name, I need access to the ability to ask for my domain name. So all you need to do is ask for it. You can ask for any capability you want. You just have to ask for it. You have to declare it before you can use them. One of the reasons you have to declare capabilities is so that if you put your app in the store, you can tell users what it's going to do. So, for example, let's go find one of these photo apps. Probably Photo Vault, for example. Nope. That's just the internet. Let's look at an app that, are there any apps here that, okay, UCam, perfect example. All right, you get the most out of your camera on your mobile device. Notice that it has permissions to use the pictures library, the video library, and your location. Meaning that the person that wrote this checked location, pictures library, videos library, okay? So The capabilities serve two purposes. The primary purpose is to let the user know what this app is going to do, so if they don't want you to do that, they cannot install it. And then the capabilities give you the ability to ask for things, to declare, right? So you need to declare the capability. While we're in here, there's another capability that we're going to need, home or work networking, because right now, this WCF service is sitting on this computer, but in real life, it's going to be sitting on another computer. So for my computer, my Windows 8 app, to talk to another computer over the intranet, I need this capability, home or work networking. So again, all you have to do is ask for it. And now when I run this, here's the app. Right, it's got my display name, which is Robert Green. It got my domain name so that it what it was able to do in this get employee calls, call the employee view model, which then calls the service to get a reference to that employee. And then in the main page, let's view the code. What are we doing? When the app loads, it's going to get the username and display it in the upper right, and then it's going to get outstanding charges, saved expense reports, pending expense reports, and any reports that are needing approval, which I'm not allowed to see, but my manager would be allowed to see. All right, and then the charges just, this creates a new instance of the charges view model, and then calls this get charges method, which, of course, talks to the service and brings down charges, turns it into an observable collection, and then I'm displaying this information. So when I come into this app, it shows me, here are the charges you have outstanding. Here are the ones that are new, less than 30 days old, old, 30 to 44 days old, and you've got two that are late, 45 days old. Why do I care? I care because at this point, Amex can start fining me. I also see that there's an expense report that I started but haven't submitted, and it also has a charge in there that's more than 45 days old. So I can see that I'm now in danger of getting fined. I violated corporate policy on this one. You're supposed to expense things within 30 days, but all you do is get nagged. You don't get fined. If you're 45 days or late to Amex, Amex can fine you. I also see that I have three expense reports that I've submitted that haven't been resolved. On two of them, I'm not owed any money. Those are all charges on my Amex card. But on this computer hardware one, that money came out of my pocket. So I see nice big bold letters that I'm owed $149.99, and it's late. I believe late for this app, we're considering anything more than 7 days. I think managers are supposed to approve expense reports within 3 to 7 days. So this app tells me everything I need to know, and it's automatically now way more useful than the website that we have. Because as I was designing this app, I said, what is it that people want to know? What does it mean in this fast and fluid metro world? What would the home page of an expense report app look like? And it's really my dashboard. So if I want to see what's going on with expenses, I pop over to the start screen. Scroll over to the right, here's the app, I tap on it, I look, okay, oh crap, I better do this, crap, that's a technical term. Oh, snap, I better file these because I've got some charges that are late, so I need to get started on this. Oh, I better go bug my boss about this expense report because he owes me money. You know, these two are not my problem, I'm not owed any money, but this one I am owed money. And I've got this hard-coded, so when you click on this, you switch over to the manager's view. So the manager comes in and says, oh, okay, I see that I've got three expense reports here that need approval, right? I don't have to file any expense reports, but I better take care of these or Green's going to come bugging me for these $431.97 owed. So this is, in a lot of ways, like the mail app. All right, you go to your phone, you press Outlook, you immediately see what's going on. So you get in, you see what's going on, you get out. So I think automatically this app is more productive and more useful. Okay. So that's the main page. Now, we need the ability to create expense reports. So employees should be able to launch the expense report page from the main page by tapping something, either tapping the charges or we're going to look at adding a button in the app bar. But there should be an easy way to create an expense report. And when you go to create a new expense report, the first thing you need to see are your outstanding charges. What charges have I already put on my Amex card that the system knows about? I should be able to create new ones if I paid for something in cash or on my personal Visa card. I should be able to add and remove charges from an expense report, and then I should be able to save as well as submit it, that expense report. Okay, so let's go back into here. Let's create an expense report page. So I'm going to add an existing item, and that is the expense report page. And the expense report page on the left is going to show me my existing charges, and then on the right is going to show me this expense report. It's the number, the purpose, some notes, and then each item in it. Okay? All right, so now, what did we say? We said that when I launch the app, I want to be able to tap over here. Okay? And then while we're in here, I need to replace this logo here. I need some, look at all these other apps have nice looking logos, and I've got this X. So I'm going to come into Visual Studio, and in the Package Manager in the Application UI tab, I can say what logos to use. So rather than use the built-in ones, things like this logo and this splash screen, I created my own. So let's go back and add those. And I'm going to say for the logo, instead of using the default one, use my logo. And I want there to be a wide tile in addition to the narrow tile. So here's the logo for that. When you need a small logo, use this small version of the logo. And for the splash screen, use my splash screen. Okay? So now I can just deploy this. I don't literally need to run it because all I've done is updated the tile. Now when I slide out here, Visual Studio has replaced this logo with my new small logo. I'm going to drag this into my business apps category. And I can also use the larger logo. So now that's a good looking icon, good looking logo. And now when I click this app, there's my splash screen. So it's already looking better. Okay. So now we just added, if I'm not mistaken, the expense report page. Okay. And so what we want is for the user to be able to get in there by tapping on this header or on this grid right here. Okay, so if we go and look at the XAML, we can see that there is the charges header text block, and I've got an event called charge tapped, and also this grid here has charge tapped. So in that, I'm just going to add code to call the expense report page. All right, this.frame.navigate type of expense report page, that will call up the expense page. Okay, let's run this. Now when I tap, either with the mouse or with my finger on unreconciled charges, this brings me into the page for creating an expense report. On the left, you see my outstanding charges. On the right, I can create a purpose for this, and then in the app bar, I've got the ability to select all of the charges, clear the solution, select a charge, and add it. I've got the ability to create a new charge. So let's set this back, let's say on 415. Looks like I was in the airport. 415. The merchant was, of course. What else am I going to buy in the airport? Starbucks, and I spent $12 on coffee and a Danish, and food. in airport category was teeny meals. If I select other as a category, then I can specify the secondary category. But for this, I'll put teeny meals, no receipt required. I'm going to add this now, save charge, and it gets added to the expense report. Okay? Or I could remove this charge. I'm going to save the, I should probably put a purpose, food in airport on the way to Tech Ed. Actually, Tech Ed wasn't in April. On the way to customer visit. Perfect. And leftover from previous report. Or I can save the report. And now when I exit here and come back out, notice that it's now saved. And this number has gone down. This number has gone up. Okay? So I can get in by clicking on this, but you know, maybe users don't necessarily understand that right away. So what I really want is an additional way. I want an app bar with a new button. So I'm going to go into mainpage.xaml, and I'm going to add an app bar. That goes after the page resources, but before the grid. And what I need to do is manually copy and paste this, because I don't have the ability to create snippets and add them to XAML. So there we go. There's an app bar on the bottom of the page. It is enabled. And I've got a button in it called New Report Button. And I've got a style called New Report App Bar Button Style, which doesn't exist yet. Okay, so if we look in standard styles, we will find an app bar button style. Visual Studio provides this. This is the style that gives all app bars the consistent look. So what I then did is I went into my core styles, and I said, OK, I want a bunch of buttons that are based on that. Things like button for a new charge, clear selection, right? All of these buttons, when I come in here and swipe up, all of these buttons look like standard app bar buttons. And notice that I've selected the icon and I put my own text here. And the way you do that is you base these on app bar button style, and then the name value is the text that appears, and then for the content you just put in this number here. This comes from the character map. You go into Sego UI symbol. There's a whole bunch of icons in here you can use. So for example, Sego UI symbol. So for example, this here I'm using for reject. And then this here I'm going to use for approve. And all I then need is this number here, E19F. Okay, that's where these come from. So I'm going to create a new style for my new report button. And I'm going to call this new report app bar button style based on the default app bar button style. Its automation ID is report app bar button, and the name, which is the text that appears, is new report, and I'm using the standard new symbol. Okay? All right. And then that was on the main page. And then all I need is to put in the code that gets called when I click that new report button, which is the same code that was called when I tapped get the expense report. So now let's run this. And now I can right click or swipe up and choose new report. Okay? All right. Cool. We are grooving. What's next? I want to be able to edit a saved expense report. I should be able to tap any expense report, saved expense reports on the main page. open up that page and keep adding additional charges, save it again, or ultimately submit it. Okay? So, again, what do I want? I want to be able to tap the word unsubmitted reports or any one of these and go in. Actually, not unsubmitted reports. I want to be able to tap this or this and then go and work on that report. Okay, so I have a saved expenses list view selection changed, and that's where I'm going to put this code. I'm going to grab saved expenses list view dot selected item, which is an expense report, cast it to expense report view model, and pass it to the expense report page. So the expense report page in the on navigated to says, if the user just tapped a charge, get the charges, create a new collection of expense items, create a brand new expense report. If the user is looking for a particular expense report, so if I'm passing an expense report, then I'm going to set the data context of the expense report grid to that, and then I'm going to go and get the expense items for that expense report. And if it hasn't been submitted yet, meaning it's just been saved, go get the charges again because the user can continue to add charges to this. Okay, so let's build this. And now when I tap on one of these, I go straight to that report and I can continue adding charges to this. Okay? Awesome. All right. What's next? Well, presumably, I want to be able to view my submitted expense reports. I want to have, certainly I need a record of them. I want to be able to see what expense reports haven't been approved yet. And if I'm a manager, I need the ability to approve or reject supports. And of course, employees cannot make changes to reports after they've submitted them. They may have the ability to cancel them, but they can't edit them. Okay, so let's go and do that. I am going to add a new view. I want a page that is called Expense Reports page. We're all the way up to demo 5 now. Expense Reports page, which is going to look pretty similar to the Expense Report page. But the big difference is that rather than showing outstanding charges on the left, I'm going to show expense reports on the left. So I'll have reports that have been submitted or are awaiting approval here. And when I select one, I'm going to see the details here. Okay? So back to the main page, because if I click on one of these saved reports, I'm sorry, one of these pending reports, something that I've submitted but hasn't yet been approved. Come on, you can do it. Well, I don't feel like waiting. Oh, now it's going to make me wait. I scrolled too fast for it. There we go. Okay, so there's a list of pending expenses. And what I'm going to put into pending expenses is code very similar to what we saw before, only now I'm going to launch the expense reports page and pass the expense report that I clicked on. I'm going to do something very similar for needing approval. Okay. And then what I want is if the user taps the word pending approval or the word needing approval, then I want to launch those as well. So I have a needing approval tapped as well as a pending approval tapped. And for these, I am going to call the expense report page and not pass an expense report. Okay. So now I come in, I click on a pending approval, I go to that page, I can scroll from report to report. There's nothing in the app bar because there's nothing I can do here. On the other hand, if I am my manager, the first thing I would do is give myself a big raise. Apparently. Now here I can look at the various reports, and what I can do is right-click on this and approve it, or reject it, of course. Okay, it disappears from that list. It disappears from the list of needing approval. And if I come back to me, it disappears from the pending approval. Okay? All right. Cool. So what have we done at this point? We've only done it, it's only taken us 40 minutes. We have built a Metro-style app, a Windows 8 app that does a pretty good job of adhering to the Metro design guidelines. I've got some tweaking to do. There's some colors that I might want to change. My app bars aren't always showing up when I expect them to with the right clicking. There's some tweaking I need to do, but I think I've done a pretty good job of adhering to the Metro design principles. I worked with a designer, a design firm. Their name's Macadamian. They're out of Canada. They did a great job of laying out the pages, and then I wrote the XAML, so I did a pretty good job of adhering to what they designed. An excellent job, considering I'm only a developer, not a designer. But what we haven't really gotten this app yet are any of the really cool Windows 8 features. So we should now add some of those and take advantage of what the platform offers. So specifically, I want to add a live tile to this. So what are the live tiles? Well, you've seen them before. If we go out to the start page, the mail app and the calendar app are live. This is scrolling through mails. All these tiles that are updating automatically are live tiles. That's one of the cool things about Windows 8. You come into your start screen. These tiles are not just the way you launch apps. It's kind of a little dashboard. Each app has its own dashboard that shows you information. I want to have this app do the same thing. Okay, and then what I also want is to have secondary tiles. I want the users to be able to pin an expense report to the start screen and then go directly to that. So an example of a secondary tile, let's say I come into the weather app. I click on the weather app, it's going to show me my default town, which is Redmond, where, big shock, it's going to be raining for the next 3 days. I'm just stunned. Now what I can do is I can get other places, for example, Amsterdam, where the weather's going to be much nicer. And what I can do in the app bar is pin this, I'll call it Amsterdam, pin this to the start. And now, if I click the weather app itself, the primary tile, I go to my home page. But if I click my secondary tile, which is live, I go directly to Amsterdam. That's a secondary tile. So I want to add those capabilities to this application. Live tiles and secondary tiles. Okay. So let's come back in here. So on the main page, I want the ability, I want to have a live tile. So I need to do it somewhere fairly soon in the application. I'm going to put it in the main page. When the app starts up, so what I'm going to do at the end of page loaded, right here, is add this code. And I've got a couple namespaces to resolve. XML document, which is in windows.data.xml.dom, and tile updater, which is in windows.ui.notifications. Okay, so the tile update manager creates a tile updater object used to change and update start menu tiles. Provides access to the XML content of the system provided tile templates so that you can customize that content for use in updating your tiles. So we call the tile manager. Get template content gets one of the predefined tile templates. And there are a number of them. There's square block, there's square peak image and text, various sizes, there's square text, wide image and text, wide peak image and text, wide text. So what I'm going to do for this app is choose tile wide text 03, which is one string of large text wrapped over a maximum of 3 lines. Then I'm going to get the XML that's in there and get the text tag, and then I'm going to set the inner text of that to you have X number of charges for total. And I'm going to add up the number of charges that are less than 30, 30 to 44, greater than 30, and the amount of charges for all of those. And that tells me I've got a number of charges for a number of amounts. Then I'm going to create a tile notification, pass it that XML, and then I'm going to use the create tile updater for application, which creates and initializes a new instance of the tile updater and lets you change the appearance of the calling app's title. So that's this app, and I'm going to update it with that XML. And that's all I need to do. Handful of lines of code. Now when I run this, app starts, I scroll over here, and voila, live tile. And I could have a number of things show up here, not just the outstanding charges you have, but how much money is owed to you. Or if I was a manager, I would also say you have 7 reports outstanding for a certain amount of money. So you can have as many as you want, and you can rotate up to 5 of them at a time. Okay, so what I also want is for the user to pin an expense report. And for this example, I've chosen the ability to pin an existing report. So I actually already have the pin button right here. I just need to wire it up. Okay, so let's go into expense report. Okay, expense report page, and then I need to find the pin button click and the unpin click. So here's the code I need to pin. Okay, and then the only thing, yep, I need to resolve this namespace because I've got secondary tile, which is in windows.ui.startScreen. So I'm going to create a new secondary tile. And secondary tile takes a number of arguments. One thing it takes is an ID. The ID of the tile should be a unique identifier, so I'm going to use the report number. And then it takes short name and display name. I'm going to use the purpose of the report. And then it takes some arguments. And for the arguments, I'm going to pass in the report number, and we'll get to why I need to do that in a second. Then some options. I want to show the name on the logo, and then what logo to use. Then I need to ask the user. You cannot pin or unpin programmatically without asking the user, because you're not allowed to mess with the start screen without their permission. So secondary tile.requestCreateForSelectionAsync pops up that UI we saw where you can enter the name and it shows you what the logo is going to look like. That returns a true or false. It also takes a couple of additional arguments, including a rectangle, and then do you want to place this above or below the rectangle? So here's some code here which I borrowed from the SDK sample to just basically figure out where to put this pop-up. And then if I've pinned this, then I'm going to hide the pin button and show the unpin button. And then when I unpin, first I need to see if the secondary tile exists. No sense unpinning it if it's not there. Why would it not be there? Because the user can unpin that tile manually. So if that tile exists, which tile? The tile with the ID of the report number. Then I'm going to get a reference to it, and then I'm going to request delete for selection. I'm going to ask the user, do you want to unpin this? And if they say yes, bring back the pin button and hide the unpin button. Okay, so let's run this. I've done this on unsubmitted reports. The user right-clicks, chooses pin. The default is the purpose, food in airport on the way to the customer visit. That's good enough for me. I'll pin to start. And now this is, that button changes to unpin. If I come over here, Here's that tile, food to airport on the way to customer. Okay. Now, I need to add one more thing to this, because as I was testing this, I noticed that if I leave and come back in, this button still says pin, where it really should say unpin. So I need some smarts in here to know if the button's already been pinned. So I'm going to put that in the onNavigated to, and I'm going to put that right here. This is 12. So again, does that secondary tile exist? If it does, just swap the buttons. So now when I come in, click on that report, get the app bar, it knows it's pinned, so I can now unpin it, and it's gone from the start screen. Okay, so let's pin it, and then let's exit the application. And now, when I click that, the application starts, but it goes to the main page. Because the application doesn't know any different. What I need to do is put some logic in here that tells the application, if you were started because the user clicked the main tile, go to the main page. But if you were started because the user clicked the secondary tile, go directly to that expense report. So I need to do that in the onLaunched. So what I'm going to do is, this is the code that says call the main page. I'm going to replace that with snippet number 13. Code that says, well, these things called arguments. When the app is launched, arguments can be passed. If you click on the primary tile, no arguments are passed. But if you click on that secondary tile, arguments get passed. What are those arguments? Where did I put the pin? What arguments are passed? The report number. That's why I put the report number in the activation arguments, so that when the user clicks that secondary tile, that tile passes the report number to the application. And the application can say, if there are arguments passed, go get that expense report and fire up the expense report page and show that expense report. Okay, so now let's just deploy this. Don't need to start it from Visual Studio. Scroll over here. Now when I press this, we go directly to that report. And I could unpin it or leave it pinned. And of course, if I close this, I go back to the main page. Okay? I have not added pinning to this page for explicit reports. I probably should. The manager might want to pin a report because he wants to ask the employee a question about it. So I'm going to add pinning and unpinning to this page. It'll be the exact same code. I would need to change my arguments. I'd need to change the code in the onLaunched to know, are the arguments because it's a pinned report that's been saved, or is it a report that needs approval? So I'll just need to adjust my arguments so that in this code here, I'll have three conditions. No argument, expense report because it's saved, expense report because it's needing approval. That shouldn't be that hard to do. Okay. What else? We should be able to take advantage of search. There's a search charm. Users should be able to search for charges or expense items or reports in particular categories. I should be able to search for tech ed. I should be able to search for Starbucks. I should be able to do these things, but I have not added that to this app yet. But what I did do is add sharing. So I want the employee to be able to mail their manager a reminder about a pending report, and I want the manager to be able to mail the employee with questions about a pending report. So I'm going to implement a share contract. Okay. So let's go to the expense reports page, because this is all based on submitted reports. Okay? And so what do I need? I need a variable in here. This is MS expense 14. And I need to use the data transfer manager, which is in windows.applicationModel.dataTransfer. And the transfer manager programmatically initiates an exchange of content with other apps. The way a share contract works is one app wants to share data with other apps. This app, when the user swipes in and says share, this app takes some data and gives it to Windows, to the Windows runtime. The Windows runtime then turns around and gives that data to whatever app the user wants to share with. And that's handled by the data transfer manager. Okay? And then in the onNavigated to, I'm going to hook that up. I'm going to set a handler for the data requested event for the current view. And I'm going to call onDataRequested, which looks like this. So I'm using String Builder, so I need to add system.text. All right, so there's the data transfer manager, and there's the requested event args. Args has a request, right? So I grab the request. The requests have data. And there's a title. I'm going to set the title to the employee name and the purpose. And I'm going to set the description to please review a particular report number. And then I'm going to add text. This report contains the following: description, expense date, build amount. Then I'm going to set the text of the data in the request and hand it off to Windows. Handful of lines of code, and now I get the ability to do this. So I'm an employee. I come in. Let's look at this particular expense report. I swipe in from the right. I tap share. And because I have wired this app up to share, I get a list of every single app on my computer that supports share. So for example, Quick Note. All right, I set the title to name and purpose. Please review expense report number this, and it contains the following. And so I can now share that with Quick Note. And so now if I come out to here, go over to Quick Note, I've created a Quick Note to myself about this expense report. Okay? That's cool. I can also apparently tweet my expense reports. I don't know why I would, but apparently I can. The primary scenario, though, was my manager comes in and sees that I bought some hardware. I bought an SSD drive for my laptop from Newegg, and the manager says, what? Manager emails me and says, we have a big box of hard drives in the storage room. Did any of those work? Because if so, I'm not approving this. Bam, sends it off. And might at this point want to pin this. And then if we move over to mail, and without showing you any of my mail that is sensitive, let's just go down to sent items. Hasn't shown up yet. Claims it's up to date. Come on. There it is. Here's the one I just sent. And eventually it would show up. Okay? So that is the app. We built this app in less than an hour. And so what I will argue, or what I will maintain, is not worth arguing about, but what I think is this app is way more productive than anything that I'm currently using. I've got this on my tablet or my Surface when I'm lucky enough to get one of those, or my laptop or my desktop. I fire it up. I see what's going on. I want to create a new expense report. I tap. All right? I say, that one, add it, type it. Tech Ed Travel. Submit it. Boom. Done. I come in as my manager. Oh, that's right, olive greens. Yep, that's good. Yep, that's good. Yep, that's good. Bing, bang, boom, done. Right? So let's say, you know, I've picked up my tablet. I'm going down to the cafeteria. I'm going to get a sandwich. I'm standing in line. I'm reading. I swipe over to get to my reader app, and I see the expense report app that's telling me, because it's a live tile, you have expense reports waiting. I tap, I look, swipe up, select, approve, done, all in 15 seconds. That's productivity. That is saving our company money, because now expense reports are being filed in a more timely manner, they're being approved in a more timely manner, we're making better use of our expenses, we're getting expenses handled in the quarter or the fiscal year in which they were, in which they occurred. This is a very easy app to use, way more productive. So I think that this is a perfect example of an app that you would completely rewrite as a Metro app. If this is already a Silverlight or WPF app, you're going to reuse tons of the existing XAML and C#. If it's a web app, then if your expense report is a web app, then you'd write this as a JavaScript app with HTML and CSS and try to reuse as much as you can. Okay. So, we are just a minute and a half over, so I'll just tell you that on the rest of these slides, I did talk a little bit about how you can work with data. We're using a back-end system. You can also use Azure, third-party services. There is database support, IndexedDB, which is built into web apps, to JavaScript apps, SQLite for a XAML app. I want to add SQLite support to this app over the next month or so for kind of an offline scenario, and then I'd be able to sync back up with the real SQL Server data. And then there's a ton of built-in security. If you want examples of those, I highly recommend the samples in the Windows SDK. They show certificates, authentication, multi-factor authentication, using the credential picker, the web authentication broker. There's an awful lot in there already baked in. Okay, and then in terms of deployment, the rest of these slides talk about deployment, but I would refer you to the talk I did yesterday for that. So that's what I have. The conclusion that I hope you drew is that when we say leverage your existing skills, if you know XAML and C# or VB, come over and build Metro apps and reuse your skills. If you know JavaScript and HTML and CSS, come over to Windows 8, reuse your existing skills. I think that you've just seen that when we talk about that, we're not making it up. It is very true. This app, the majority of this app is just pretty much standard XAML and C#. And then we added a bunch of Windows 8 specific features, the share contract, the live tiles, the secondary tiles, handfuls of lines of code. Not that terribly difficult to do. Design, difficult. The coding, not so much. All right. Thanks.